How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley. And Sundays, I'm back with me. I'm back. I had a beautiful vacation. I had a great couple weeks. Last week, I had a phenomenal person covering the show. Very blessed. We'll talk about that after the break. But man, I'm thrilled to be back, and so much wrestling has happened in the last 2 weeks. I really took a hiatus. I had to spend 3 days catching up on almost 3 weeks of professional wrestling. And you know what? A lot is happening. Last night we saw TNA Slammiversary happen in Montreal. 4,000 people in that building. AEW ran their residency in Texas last night with Collision. A brand new set, a brand new building. I have a lot to talk about that building. It's fascinating, right? Because it looked beautiful. But sometimes people's expectation is something totally out of the realm of reality. And the discourse happens. So I want to touch on that a little bit. SmackDown last night, continuing the Bloodline. And everything that's happening there, leading up to SummerSlam. We have matches for All In. More matches slowly being announced for that show. A lot of movement in the world of professional wrestling. A lot of movement in the world of sports. A lot of movement in the world of TV rights and TV negotiations with the NBA. Now still in play for Turner. For Warner, sorry. My brain is stuck in 1997, guys, sometimes. The Montreal Screwjob happened all over again last night. I don't know where I am anymore. But we have a ton to talk about, and I'm thrilled to be here with you guys. After a couple weeks off, I'm ready to talk about professional wrestling once again. When we come back, we're going to have all of this plus all the news of the last, 2 weeks. Because I have some stuff to talk about here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I am thrilled to be back here. For those of you that don't know, I took a couple of weeks hiatus. My wife and I took off to the beautiful island of Jamaica. I needed to totally disconnect from everything. And I seem to have picked the worst week to disconnect from everything. A lot happening, obviously. The attempted assassination attempt on the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, was the big story when I was away. And it was fascinating to see, being outside of the country, seeing, you know, how people were reacting. Obviously, I was on a resort filled with Americans, but it was a very unique time to disconnect from all media. And I did, and to be honest, I was disconnected from all media. I didn't have any social media down there, very little. I have very little internet access down there, which was by design. So when I came back, I had a ton to catch up on. Obviously, world events take precedence over everything else, but I had a phenomenal time. I've caught up on so much professional wrestling. A lot of interesting messages I got when I was away for a week or so about Warner and the deal coming up. So we'll talk about all of that. But very interesting time for everything. But we're going to obviously concentrate about professional wrestling here. MG, I was gone. My producer. I was gone for a week. What did you do? I was gone. Were you lonely?
I was a little lonely. I got some extra stuff done around the house. I've been really into gardening lately, believe it or not.
Great. Maybe so you could do a gardening show here on Sports Byline. Maybe that's what's next.
I'm sure.
We could call it In the Weeds. I think there's a professional wrestling podcast that name. Yeah, I think there's a show already with that name. But you know, next week we start again here. We're doing I got to do 4 shows next week. Outside of this, obviously, I do, with Garrett Gonzalez, I do a great show called We're Live Pal on Tuesdays. I do a show for Fightful called Beyond the Bell Tuesday mornings. I do Mat Men podcast on Friday morning. So we're very busy here, and we have all different perspectives of, you know, coverage depending on the show. This is more the news. I know you guys want the news here, and you guys want the summaries of what's going on. So that's what we're going to do. Let's start off with SmackDown. I was at SmackDown a couple weeks ago, and it was fantastic. It was at the Garden. I had a great time. The kids had a great time. They are really heavily continuing this Bloodline story, and the discourse online was that maybe this was the week that it got a little long in the tooth. But you're going to have those episodes, right? House of the Dragon, one of the biggest shows on television today on Max. Generally, by the third or fourth, you know, it slows down a little bit and it picks up again. Maybe that's where we're at right now, waiting for Roman to return. We've already seen the sides getting picked here between the Usos on one side and the New Bloodline on the other. Heyman has picked his side, obviously, his allegiance to Roman. So how are we going to do this split? Is this leading to a Survivor Series? Is this leading to a War Games? Which, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world that this becomes, you know, the civil war of that family. And you go into War Games and make that thing a bloody mess. I dare them. I dare them to do a proper War Games with the Samoans and the Tongans. But that's really where we're headed. So how do you split the team? And that's something I've been thinking about. You know, obviously Roman, Jay and Jimmy on one side. Who else gets added to that side? You have Hikuleo in the mix, possibly coming in. You have the Tongans. So it's four against three. So does Dwayne show up? What do you think, MJ?
I'm in the same boat. I'm like, I don't know where to go with this because, first of all, okay, so there's other aspects of this too. Does Sami Zayn get involved? Because they could recall that.
I would not hate that. I wouldn't either. I keep forgetting about Sami, and that's an important part here because Sami has not been involved in this.
Mm-hmm. But you got to remember, he's on Raw. Jey Uso's on Raw. So how do they flip them SmackDown to make this work and make it not just be a jump the shark moment?
They're going to have to. They're going to have to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know.
They're going to have to do it. There's no question about it.
So if you're going to do that, that's the thing that keeps getting stuck in my brain is how are you going to legitimately and realistically make me believe that this is okay? We're just going to pull him right off of Raw without... There has to be a story beat there that explains
I'm sure they could figure that out.
Mm-hmm, yeah. With Paul Heyman running this whole thing, because that's who I think is largely kind of pitching the idea.
Well, listen, Kevin Owens, you know, Kevin Owens has been a target of the Bloodline, and there's an actual connection there. You know, there's a way to go through that lineup and bring him in.
Maybe it ends up being an all-star team against the Bloodline, and that's where we go.
You got to keep it as a civil war. You got it. I mean, it's such a natural story there. But The Rock is going to play a part in this. He has to play a part in this. Absolutely. So either he's going to be the one that unites them, which I don't see that happening, or he's going to turn on one side. And quite frankly, it could be he turns on Roman, and that's how you set up the match. For WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And now you have it built. It's not that Roman just, you know, Dwayne just showed up and challenged him. Now you have a complex story of this family feud that's happening.
And quite frankly, maybe it's just one of these guys that are going to flip over to the other side. Like, I thought maybe Jacob Fatu was going to be that guy. Maybe he still is. Maybe he's playing Trojan horse right now.
He's so good. Menacing.
He's so fluid and he leaned down so much and he's quicker. Everything he does is crisp.
His story is captivating. Yeah. You know, he told a story, I think when he was in MLW, when, you know, he was like a wild teen.
Mm-hmm.
And he went away. He went to jail. And he had TV, you know, there was a TV. And what does he see on the TV? His two cousins on the grandest stage. On television, multimillionaires doing what they love, and he's sitting in jail, and that was a moment that of reflection for him to change things over.
Wake up call. Yep.
And you know what? That's a really captivating story. He was a kid. He was a teenager. Listen, men, our brains don't grow till we're like 45. I still got a couple more years left. So I thought it was interesting. So SmackDown, Cody come out. He cut a promo on Solo and the Bloodline. It's interesting how Solo, you know, Jacob has really become the focus here, the conversation and the discourse online. I'm curious if this is going to lead to something with Solo and him eventually. Essentially, he vowed to get revenge for hurting Randy Orton. and it led to the to what we saw at the end. Andrade defeated Carmelo Hayes. Nice TV match. They're really trying to push Carmelo here. They're
trying to get him over, yeah.
Well, you slowly. Can see, right? You got Carmelo on here. That's the next generation coming up. You got Grayson Waller coming up. You got Austin Theory coming up. You know, you got all the young guys in the bloodline now coming up. So they're doing a good job here. We got a bizarre Bayley and Nia segment also, where Bayley pretty much said that Nia was big, clumsy, and reckless.
She told the truth. She told
and,
the truth.
Yeah, she
really.
Told the truth, and Jax got flustered and walked off.
If anybody that's listened to Brian Alvarez on the weekday.
Who's that? Who's Brian?
I don't know. He's this guy. He's
Did you see where
guy.
He was? He's in the middle of nowhere watching Tom Lawler wrestle in an empty field somewhere. Did you see that on his social media? Him and Vinny went on like an excursion.
But no, I didn't see that. But
yeah, it was fantastic.
I was just saying that this was been critiquing her work over the years has been one of his life goals, I guess.
Yeah.
So
Brian is a pro at that.
He probably got tickled. He probably got tickled at that line.
Yeah. A lot of steps here going on. We're going to go to a quick break here. We're going to come back and I'll touch on some of the other things happening on SmackDown, like LA Knight and Logan Paul and the ending of the show. And then we'll talk about Collision here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Guys, do me a favor. Follow me on Twitter, on X, I should call. Maybe he's going to change the name back. I'll call my friend Elon. I'll ask him. On X, follow me, at Andrew Zarian. The LA Knight Logan Paul stuff is interesting. They had their contract signing. Logan said he didn't know why LA Knight was getting the shot. He wasn't at his level, and he tried to walk out of the ring. I'm into this match. I know that this was planned a while ago, and they moved it to this point. A lot of people within WWE believe that LA Knight will win this title. I think it's time for him to win the title. You know, the rise of LA Knight started really after that disastrous lights out match with Bray Wyatt. There was a renaissance for him after that. And that was a year and a half ago. So they've been trying to pull the trigger on him for a year and a half, but they haven't. Little by little, now we're at this point. You know, this is a important moment for LA Knight. Logan Paul's a great heel for him to go up against. Both are cocky, both are arrogant, both are great wrestlers. Very different styles. I'm very curious to see if they put the title on LA Knight. I would expect them to do that at this point. I think it's time. Logan could take a little bit of time off. He could come back, but very impressed by both of them. And this is a SummerSlam match. LA Knight has to win this, right?
I would think so. It feels that way. And you're right. I think the mystique of Logan Paul will be better if he goes away for a bit and then comes back.
That's what he does always. But I think, you know, you could do it without the title and you could have him win, maybe have him in a different position here.
I just think it makes sense to do it that way. And then when he does come back, we'll be, oh, this guy again. Yeah. And he'll start all over, and then you'll go, wait a minute, he's pretty good.
Yeah, Mitchin defeating Tiffany Stratton here. Tiffany's getting better every time she's on TV.
This match was more about Bayley and Nia Jax setting up that program. And Bayley destroyed the briefcase, the Money in the Bank briefcase. So there's that.
Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens defeated A-Town Down Under. 11 minutes, 59 seconds. After the match, the Bloodline came out and tried to take out Cody and Kevin Owens. Jacob will come out and single-handedly take out Kevin Owens. Triple powerbomb to Cody to end the show. So that's where we're at. I like that they're utilizing the Shield triple powerbomb.
He just did that hip attack thing over and over and over.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, fantastic stuff. I'm very intrigued by that guy. Was this a great SmackDown? It was a fine SmackDown. It was okay. But this is just leading more into the story. AEW Dynamite 250. A couple of weeks ago, before I went away, I tweeted out, or I mentioned on Mat Men, or was it Beyond the Bell? I can't remember. That I was told point blank that for that show, they will have a mega pay-per-view main event level match. Okay, word for word how it was said. At the time, I said, this could be doo-doo. This could be nonsense. I had, listen, summer's busy. I had no time to verify it. But, I mean, it was said to me in that way. Man, we got it. MJF and Ospreay in a 60-minute match. They went 59-58, 59-57 for the international title. MJF won. I thought this was a great match. And then you go online and you see just the most ridiculous discourse over this match. And at this point, listen, how can anybody watch this that comprehends professional wrestling and understands the importance of doing unique experiences like this, go online right and just start saying, oh, this was terrible. This match was terrible. One thing is, 60 minutes or not, I enjoyed the 60 minutes. Would it have been as good at 42 minutes? Sure, I'm positive it would have. But I like that they did something very unique. It was a three-match show. It was formatted very differently. And that's unique. That's different. That's what we need in professional wrestling. Not every show for every company needs to be formatted the same exact way. You got to see two of, the next decade of professional wrestling will revolve around these two guys. They're two of the most important people in the wrestling business right now. And Tony put on a display. For all those people that say that MJF can't work long matches and can't work a different style, this dude did tremendous. Will Ospreay, arguably the best pro wrestler today. And the discourse is flooding the narrative here. I actually, out of all the things that I watched, I was able to get this on when I was away. And I watched it. I watched it on the beach on my iPad. But I watched it. I thought it was fantastic. Could you nitpick and say, well, a Styles clash off the second rope, and that's a transitionary move? You could say that about everything. It's professional wrestling. None of it makes sense sometimes. The story is that these guys do not want to lose, and the will within them is doing things that most men and women could never do. And that's kick out of a Styles clash from the top rope or second rope, whatever it was. Can we just watch it? I watched Die Hard the other day. Okay? John McClane. I don't sit there and say, this is really phony, guys. There's no way that one, drunk cop is able to take down an entire terrorist operation in that building and save everybody. That's a leap of ability. That's impossible. I don't watch Terminator and say, time traveling, robots. Watch it as a television show. That's what it is. But wrestling is weird, right? It's a very weird thing where certain people still, to some extent, believe that there's a real aspect to this, which there is. But you also have magic men. You have undeads. You have zombies. You have vampires. You have ghouls. You have Frankenstein monsters. And you also have the art of professional wrestling, and that's what this match was. I loved it. Fantastic. Setting up the future here. I don't have a problem with it. The only thing that was weird on that show, really, was that Okada match was the schmaz at the end. Okada and Swerve. But
do you think they should have flipped them? Do you think they should have flipped the matches?
No, I'm glad that this opened it. I'm glad that it opened it because it really set the precedence. You killed that first hour, and then the rest was easy. You know, you had Mercedes come out there. Mercedes put on a good match. And the ending.
And you talked about younger stars. Mariah May cut a fantastic promo in the middle of it to kind of break.
Oh, as so you know what's crazy? I saw the Tony Schiavone clip, which I can't say on the radio.
Yeah.
where he started screaming, and because remember I'm away, so I turned it off after that match, and I went back, and I was I went on Twitter for like 2 seconds. I really was disconnected, but it was like 2 seconds. And I'm like, oh, I thought he liked Toni Storm. It didn't hit me that was Mariah because they look so alike.
Mm-hmm.
That was remarkable. I thought it was fine.
That was fantastic. That for me now is number two match I want to see at All In. Just based on that story. That story a couple weeks ago with her swerving on Toni Storm was great.
Yeah, what you could do after this break, if you could put me that card together, because I don't have it in front of me, and I think we need to start talking about All In a little bit more, because it's almost here. We're in July, guys. It's July 21st.
It's 5 weeks away.
5 weeks away? I can't believe the summer's over. It's over. Just started, and it's over. I got to get more of a tan. Look at this. I'm trying to get that Hogan color. It's getting difficult. Skin of a leather. Skin of a hot dog. That's what it is. Skin of a hot dog. Ballpark Frank. That's the color I want to get. None of that Nathan's. I don't want to get a Nathan's color. I want a ballpark prank. Ballpark Frank or a, what's the other one? Sabath? I don't know. Now we're talking about hot dogs here. I've lost all control of the show. This is my first show back. I'm coming back slowly, little by little. My brain is rotting here. No, I thought it was a fun show. Next week, You're gonna have Blood and Guts, which we'll talk about. We're gonna have Chris Jericho against Minoru Suzuki, because Minoru Suzuki came out and challenged him and banned the Learning Tree from ringside. We got the debut of the Glamour, Mariah May, and MJF is speaking. So we got a really packed couple weeks here. When we come back from break, we're gonna talk about Collision and the new set and their residency. And also Slammiversary, 4,000 people at a TNA show, the most attended TNA show in over a decade? Yeah, has to be. Wow, they did tremendous there. I think that Chicago show that they did was the biggest, right? I got to get the number on the break. But when we come back, all this and a whole lot more, Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's talk about Collision here. AEW, by the way, a lot of conversation about their TV rights happening. We're going to get our answer very, very shortly. You can already see certain things are changing. On Friday, people in France were reporting that AEW archives were on Max. Great. I've said it's going to happen for a year and a half now. Many things came in, and it's delayed it. You know what's the other thing? You know, MG, you, in the audience, people have been talking about when this contract actually expires. And a lot of people are under the assumption that it's expiring like November or October. It doesn't expire till January 2025, their deal. So somebody asked me that over the week, and I was like, I believe it's January, and I confirmed it ends in January. So obviously there's some time here, but the deal is close. I felt that when I was at that show at UBS Arena for the pay-per-view for Forbidden Door, there was a lot of chatter regarding how close they were. Tony has said that they're in the red zone. I don't know what yard line they're at. Maybe they're at the 10. I think they're at the 10. Maybe the ball's in the air for the touchdown. The guy's grabbing it. Tony's about to, he's leaping in the air to grab it. It's right in his hands. But it's going to happen. It just, now the question is, okay, well, what's included here?
Did you just compare Tony Khan to Odell Beckham Jr.
I compare him to Odell Beckham. Yeah, one-handed, like this. He's grabbing it. Again, people want it to fail, and I don't understand how that's healthy for the entire industry. You are not a fan of the business if you are chanting for this man to fail and for this company to fail. Take your personal... I mean, listen, people do the same with WWE. They've done it for years. You want this thing to go away? That you get this enjoyment out of, whether it's a negative enjoyment or positive enjoyment? You hate watch it daily. What are you going to do with your life? Nothing. Just going to sit there and find something else to complain about. The deal's happening. It's just a matter of, okay, how much money, right? Will it be distributed on Max, which I believe it is. Obviously, that's very much part of the deal. Will there be simulcasting, which is very important right now? We see what it does with the NBA. Cable is in less homes than ever before. TNT and TBS were, 98 million homes or 90-something million homes. Now it's under 70 million. You have Max that has, let's say 80 million domestic. That's another avenue for you to get more viewers. These are all the questions in air. And Ring of Honor, honestly, I have never heard one person mention Ring of Honor to me from anybody that is at WBD. I've never had a conversation about Ring of Honor. It's never been brought up. And that says something. Or it doesn't. I don't know. I could only say what I'm hearing. But it looks like things are going to be in the positive here. The ratings have been growing every week. Tony's doing some really captivating television. Next week, Dynamite is going to be even better. Because you're going to have blood and guts, and that's a big story. We're just getting there. He's rebuilding this. Hopefully, it'll work for him. AW Collision opened up in their new building. What did you think of the arena? The eSport arena?
At first, it was that long stage. I felt like there was a lot of space. But I get it. Because that is the arena for when they do for gaming, right? Professional gaming. So that video wall is everything. But yeah, it just had that and then the ring in front of it. So it took some getting used to. And I also thought the audio was weirdly mic'd.
The audio was weird. Well, the TNA show also was very weirdly mic'd. It's growing. You're in a new building. It's a static building. I don't know if they had a different crew there that's going to be static in Texas. I don't know. There were some issues, lighting issues too. But I think they'll get those for next week.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's going to finally look like until you do it on TV. And now they saw it. It was a unique setup. It looked like a Ring of Honor show, and I made this joke and I said it to someone that happens to work there, and I said, if Ring of Honor in 2017 had made all the right decisions, this is what this show would have looked like. And the person wrote, please don't tweet that. And I'm serious. I'm like, it looked like a great Ring of Honor presentation, but it was almost like an alternate reality of what wrestling would be like if Ring of Honor existed and TNA was gone. You're getting the Beast Mortos, and Darby Allin. Do you know they wrestled 2019 in PWG? Great opener.
Wow. This was fantastic. There was a spot where Mortos did some sort of flippy thing off the top rope to Darby. And Darby is such a great bumper for getting moves over.
Anybody big,
it was great. Yeah,
very good match. Good presentation for Darby. Darby seemed to get hurt a little bit in that match because during his promo, he was mumbling to himself like, man, that really hurt. So I don't know what spot it was. But he said he's ready to die on Wednesday in blood and guts. So I guess he's falling off the top of that thing.
Yeah, he'd be the guy. If I was going to pick somebody, that would be my front runner.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there.
He'd be like minus 200 to go over the top of the cage.
Yeah, I'm betting. That's not a good bet for me to take. You're going to have to dump a lot of money in to win. The Acclaimed was backstage. Max Caster was joking around, and Billy Gunn lost his mind, and he said, let's focus, you know, as Blood and Guts was in a game. Good. Yeah, it was good.
I thought this was really good.
Mm-hmm. So this is where things got wacky. Sheeta defeated Sky Blue by ref stoppage. So Sheeta went for a dive on the outside onto Sky Blue. Sky Blue went down, and she could not get back up, and she was in pain. You could tell instantly something was going on. Tony reported that it was an ankle injury.
Yeah, so
I don't know the severity of this, but...
Well, someone posted, someone in the venue obviously posted something of her walking back. She was with the doctor. The doctors were basically holding her up, and she was crying. She was in tears.
She was like crying.
This looks like it might be... I haven't heard any updates on it, but this looks like it might be something that's going to be like a long time to heal.
Yeah, well, Dalton Castle also got hurt, and he's out for the remainder of the year. That's another injury that company's facing. But, you know, best thoughts to Sky Blue. She is a next generation talent, and she was on a roll here.
The good news is the women's division has depth now. So
yeah, tremendous depth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony confirmed it was an ankle injury. So this went, and so now things got wacky because now they got to make time, because obviously they had given this match a little bit of time here. So they went to a video package. They went backstage. Lance Archer's killing everybody. And he's screaming.
I feel like he does this like every 6 months. We get
Every time. And then he goes away. There's a mishap, right? There's a mishap. Something happened. A match ends too early. They got to cut away. They're like, where's Lance? Let him kill somebody backstage.
And then we don't see him for 6 months. It feels like.
Yeah. Chris Jericho cut a promo on Minoru Suzuki. Jericho warned Suzuki that this would be a dream match for everyone except Suzuki. I'm looking forward to that. I love these bizarre Minoru Suzuki matches. You know, this is, at the end of the day, this really is Tony playing E-Simulator in the best way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Minoru Suzuki, Chris Jericho, cool. 10 years ago, do you think that we would have ever thought that match would be a thing? No, never. Now we have this option to see these two crazy old men fight. It's fantastic. Rey Fénix defeated Tony Nese. Tony looks fantastic. FTR promo on how the Young Bucks have run the tag division while they've been gone. So it looks like it's leading to FTR and the Bucks again at All In. Roderick Strong defeated Tomohiro Ishii. The Kingdom came out from the crowd and distracted Ishii, causing the win. Strong hit a low blow and knocked and the knockout knee for the win. Also, Hologram debuted against Gringo Loco.
I thought this
was great. You know what? This was a great match. I've been told certain things about that Hologram presentation over the years of what the concept was. So I'm curious to see if it plays out. Very good match. I enjoy this. Nice lucha match. We got a lumberjack match. Deonna Purrazzo defeated Thunder Rosa, and a unified AEW Trios match, the Patriarchy. Now, the unified Trios champions defeating the Bang Bang Gang, Juice Robinson, Austin, and Colt Gunn to win the vacated titles. All right, cool. It was a fun presentation.
One note about that, and I don't know if you caught it, Christian Cage holding all three titles like he did the
TNT
title.
Yeah.
When he didn't have the title, he's holding them all. So he said he won it for them, but he's going to hold all the titles. He's going to have all three in his hand every time, and it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Fantastic. TNA last night, Slammiversary, 4,000 people in the building, Montreal. We got a couple of minutes, and I'm running out of time, but I wanted to touch on this because I thought this was a very important show for TNA. That building was slammed. The crowd was hot. My buddy Joel Pearl was there. A couple other friends were there. Big story here. We got a Montreal screw job. Finish. Speedball Mike Bailey defeated Mustafa Ali. The ref was knocked down. Earl Hebner came out. Earl refused to do the count for Mustafa Ali. He did the Montreal Screwjob on him.
He teased it three times.
And then ring the bell.
And then finally when Speedball got the submission, he counted the submission because it was a clear tap.
Very fun stuff. The main event here, Nick Nemeth, won the TNA World Title. Moose was eliminated first by Joe Henry, who was a fan. The crowd was going nuts for him. A lot of people thought that Henry would win this. The crowd was very much behind him. Josh Alexander delivered a low blow to Henry, turning heel, and the crowd was not happy. Nick Nemeth then. Who did Nick pin? He didn't pin Alexander.
Kazarian.
Nick Nemeth pinned Frankie, yeah. I thought this was great. I thought, you know, they're doing something here. For TNA in 2024, this company cannot go away. It is evident that they will forever be a part of professional wrestling. This was a big deal for them. 4,000 people.
Now they're
they're
a sub feeder for NXT now.
Yeah.
And going back and forth.
It's listen, that's going to help them. That's going to help them. But remember, this was the biggest attended show that they've had in a decade. Yep. Maybe over a decade. I think 2011, probably a decade. 2013, maybe. This is a great sign for wrestling. Forget about TNA, but for wrestling. You know, it's different. People are everywhere now. People are working together. This is a positive to have. The fact that Bloodsport, and I'll talk about this after the break, Bloodsport is featuring talent from everywhere, including WWE and NXT. Says a lot. State of professional wrestling. It's all healthy. When we come back, a little bit more before we end the show. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. I think we covered a lot here today. But Josh Barnett's Bloodsport coming up next weekend. Full of WWE talent. And independent talent. Mike Santana versus Homicide. I want to see this. That's a match I want to see. You got Julius Creed in this. You got Shayna Baszler. You got Mike Bailey. You got Josh Woods. You got Timothy Thayer. You got Charlie Dempsey. Tom Lawler. Brutus Creed.
Brutus Creed versus Tom Lawler.
That's going to be fantastic.
Think about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's that? Charlie Dempsey is who? Royce Isaacs,
Royce
right?
Royce Isaacs. Yeah. Who's New Japan.
So, who's in New Japan, yeah. I think this is cool. Masha Slamovich and Jody Threat. Another cool match. This is interesting to see WWE embracing this. This is a new... Listen, if I'm looking at it, this is the best PR they could do about their company when it comes to independent contract laws. Look, we let people go work other places. If it's fitting, if they want to do it, they're more than welcome to do it. Mm-hmm. Here, look, go to Bloodsport. Go to TNA. It protects them, really. Sometimes it's not the kindest in there, you know, it's for reasons. But I think this is really great. This week, we're going to have a big week in wrestling. Obviously, more news coming out about the AEW deal with Warner. That's coming pending. Maybe they do it at All In. I don't know. You have a really good show for Blood and Guts. You got Raw coming up. SummerSlam is heating up, where it's going to be CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. That's going to be the big story here. Punk's return. What is it? His third or fourth match since returning a year ago? A lot of moving parts. But next week, we'll be back with a whole new episode of Wrestling Observer Live and everything that's happening in the world professionally. Until next time, guys. Take care.